This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette in Los Angeles. President Biden says more firefighters and other resources will be sent to Canada to help the country fight hundreds of wildfires. CBS News correspondent Tom Foti reports.
With a huge part of the U.S. now breathing unhealthy and ugly air due to smoke moving south from record Canadian wildfires, President Biden says U.S. firefighting help will be increased.
We already have 600 American firefighters on the ground and been there for a while in Canada, including hotshots and the smoke jumper crews.
And Mr. Biden says he's promised Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau that additional U.S. resources will be sent north to help.
The smoke is bringing air quality issues to multiple states in the east.
I have a sister who has asthma, and she definitely has not been doing well with it. I walked around my neighborhood. I could definitely feel it in my throat.
Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Cheryl Bettegol explains why the air is unhealthy.
The fine particles can penetrate deeply into fragile lung tissue, causing symptoms including cough, shortness of breath, and wheezing. This is the reason that we recommend minimizing outdoor time and wearing a high-quality mask if you do need to go outside.
The smoke is also affecting air traffic. CBS's Chris Van Cleve on that part of the story.
The FAA says it will likely need to take steps to manage the flow of traffic safely into New York City, D.C., Philadelphia, and as far south as Charlotte due to the reduced visibility from this wildfire smoke.
The Supreme Court issued a surprise ruling in an Alabama redistricting case in favor of black voters. CBS legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
What the Chief Justice said is, looking at these maps, there's a likely violation of the Voting Rights Act because they were drawn out of political power.
The main suspect in the Natalie Holloway disappearance case, Yoron Vandersloot, is now in U.S. custody. Correspondent Janet Chamlian.
He is not coming back here to face murder charges. He is being extradited to face federal charges of wire fraud and extortion. He approached Beth Holloway, Natalie's mom, and tried to extort some $250,000 from her, in exchange for which he promised to tell her information about what happened to Natalie and where Natalie's body could be found.
Conservative broadcaster Pat Robertson has died at the age of 93. He held some controversial views, including about homosexuality.
I said, does he want to be a girl? And she said, no. I said, well, if he doesn't want to be a girl, basically he wants to be a man. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to be a man, there's no reason that he can't start acting like one. Mm-hmm. God can take care of this.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. The USDA's National Drought Monitor says that 88% of Wisconsin is abnormally dry and a quarter of the state is in moderate drought. And the part of the state in drought includes nearly all of Polk County, as well as parts of neighboring counties, as well as areas south of I-90 in southwestern Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says that over the next 6 to 10 days, the state will see continued above average temperatures and below normal precipitation. The Amory City Council voted 4-1 to reinstate Bethany Escrow. She is an administrative assistant to the police department who was fired in May in part for her role in Facebook posts critical of the city's government and employees. And a test well in the town of Campbell was free of PFAS contamination. The town's drinking water has previously tested for unsafe levels of PFAS. An engineering firm said the cost of a new well for the town would cost about $500,000. The town says it plans to work with the DNR and to seek grants to see if they can add a new, deeper well for drinking water. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Big news that came out just now. Donald Trump has gotten a target letter from the Department of Justice, the target letter. Let me tell you what that is. Let me tell you what that means and what is likely to happen. When there's a criminal investigation by the Justice Department or a U.S. attorney in whatever city you live in or near, grand juries convened. This is federal now, federal. And this is not, for instance, if there's a murder or a burglary and it's state court somewhere, you don't necessarily get this. But federal, grand jury, typically kind of a white-collar crime. What happens is after they have all their ducks in a row, the Department of Justice or the U.S. attorney, they issue a target letter, it's called, to the subject of whom they're going to prosecute. It is inconceivable that somebody would get a target letter unless the Department of Justice had decided that they are going to prosecute them. Now, what is the object of the target letter? It's an invitation for the lawyers, for the defendant to come in and argue with the Department of Justice, try to show them new information that the Department of Justice didn't have, or to have plea bargain discussions. Plea bargains, usually they'd be things like how much jail time the Department of Justice would agree to, whether they would agree to reduce it to a misdemeanor, whether they would agree to remove some counts, some charges. Another piece of information that is circulating that I think has validity from everything we've seen is that Mark Meadows has flipped on Trump. Mark Meadows was the chief of staff for Donald Trump. And Mark Meadows was in on a lot of what Trump did. And Mark Meadows has testified several times, not only to the grand jury in Washington, D.C., but to the grand jury that's been convened in Florida. And Mark Meadows has flipped. What does that mean? What happens is Mark Meadows got a letter too, and he went in to talk to them. His lawyers went in to talk to him. And the Department of Justice almost certainly said to him, we will charge you with felonies for which you can get 10 or more years in jail, 20 years, 10 years. Mark Meadows is no spring chicken. When you're a middle-aged guy and you're looking at maybe 10 years or more in what, prison? talk about destroying your life. And that's true, frankly, if you are a spring chicken and you're young, you do not want to go to prison. What criminal defense lawyers frequently say to their clients is something along these lines. What is the most important thing to you? Because you're the client, you get to decide. Is it no matter what you have to do, you don't go to prison? Or no matter what they want you to do, you will never admit guilt. You will never admit what you did. And there are a variety of other things. Maybe there's somebody else involved and you want to protect them, a spouse. So, yeah, I'm talking about a different kind of case. And whatever happens, I can't have X, my son, my daughter, my spouse be charged, that kind of thing. Well, Mark Meadows almost certainly, in answering that question, told his lawyers, the thing that I can't tolerate above all is going to prison. I'll take a felony conviction. I will agree to a lot of things, but they must not send me to prison. I will do anything not to be sent to prison. The lawyers then go in and they negotiate. And they say, we will cooperate, but he can't go to prison. And it may be that they'll say, well, we can't agree to that. We can't agree to reduce this to a misdemeanor. It's going to be a felony. And quite frankly, we will agree that he doesn't get 10 years, but he's got to get 2 years. And for good time, he'll only have to serve 14 months or whatever. Now, Meadows has a big problem then. Going to prison for 12 or 14 months ain't great, but it's a lot better than going to prison for 10 or 20 years. And just looking at Meadows, I think he's a middle-aged guy. He does not want to go to prison, so he's flipped on Trump. Now, how is he flipped? Well, first of all, the grand jury has been convened in Florida, which tells me that the Justice Department on the classified documents case is going to bring the action in Florida against Trump. It will be venued in Florida. What does venue mean? Venue just means place. That's the court they will bring it in. I think they're taking risks. Remember, Eileen Mercedes Cannon is down there. She's a bad judge. She's the one who came from Columbia, first generation, pro-Trump, appointed by Trump, and single-handedly blocked the FBI and DOJ investigation into his theft of these documents and his obstruction. She gets the case. This thing will be a disaster, and you do not get to substitute against a federal judge unless there is good cause. And if you say it's good cause because she is she's pro-Trump, she never been should have been a federal judge in the first place. You know, I personally don't think that first-generation immigrants to this country who were born somewhere else should become federal judges, not because there aren't some good ones, but they come with a lot of cultural baggage, and the fact is that our Constitution requires due process. But so be it, she is. That's a problem. The other problem is the appellate court for Florida is very conservative and all that. That said, there's some very good judges down there, and it looks to me like they are going to bring it down in Florida. Why would they do that? Well, you venue it. Jurisdiction is the 800-pound gorilla. You have to have federal jurisdiction. Well, under the Espionage Act and the federal statutes, you have federal jurisdiction. But the venue can be attacked, and if they brought it in D.C. and a judge made the wrong decision, they'd throw it out. They'd have to refile in Florida. It would take a lot of time. So they bring it down there. Why? Because he's obstructed down there. He was the one who claimed that there were no documents down there, and there really were. Then he hid them from the subpoena. Then he hid them from the search warrant. And then he loaded a plane in Florida to fly them to Bedminster in New Jersey. Plenty of contacts. They call them minimal contacts with Florida. So that's where it's liable to be. So stand by. I think this, frankly, is good news. It should have been done a long time ago before he got this deep into the presidential race, which he's only running for to try to keep himself out of prison. Now, we'll see what happens. We're going to the lines. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Andy?
Well, Matt, it seems as though Trump was showing her how he could declassify documents while he was the president. And then, of course, when he lost the election, then he takes a cartload of documents down to Mar-a-Lago, and then he says he could still be in a you know, considering that he felt he was still president, he could continue to declassify documents, even though he wasn't, you know, he wasn't the president anymore. So it this convoluted thing with these documents, I mean, you know, it's, man, oh, man. I mean, the guy broke every rule in the book, you know.
Right. And I don't take any pleasure out of this. He's a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I don't like to see a president prosecuted. It's not good for the country. It's divisive. I really don't like to see it. But that said, under the Espionage Act and under several other acts, if you show classified documents that would impact the security of the United States, that is a 10-year felony. There's another one that has the death penalty, which obviously is not going to be looked at here. But he allegedly, and this is would have to be proven at trial, showed a document prepared by the Defense Department that had the plans for attacking Iran. I can tell you something. You may say, oh, my God, that we shouldn't have prepared that. Let me tell you something. Our Defense Department is a good Defense Department, and it has contingency plans for anything. Responding to a Russian nuclear attack, a Chinese nuclear attack, China invading Taiwan, Russia invading a NATO country, Iran getting a nuclear missile, nuclear bomb on a missile. And we are not going to permit that because it'll not only be launched against Israel, it'll be launched against our ships in the Mediterranean. It'll also be launched against our ships down in the waters around Iran, and it'll be launched against Paris, Berlin, London, and Rome. We're not going to put up with that. We will bomb that country. And this is the document that he showed to people. And he allegedly said, according to the evidence, that he said, I wish I declassified this when I was president. Well, what the hell is he doing showing it to people? These were donors. Should not be having done that. The other thing is there were documents having to do with the nuclear capabilities of some country. I don't know if it was Iran. I don't know if it was Pakistan, what it was. But the word in the Justice Department is that there were, this was priceless, that there are foreign countries, read China, Russia, and Iran, who would pay anything in Saudi Arabia for these documents. I frankly think that he intended conceivably to monetize these documents. And I think that's wrong. He should not have taken these documents. He's conceded that he did not declassify them. Then in an interview, he goes, oh, well, I can declassify it just by thinking about it. It's sort of like I'm Superman and something radiates out of my fingertips. As long as I'm holding the document, that's cool. Well, no, it's not. There is a procedure for even the president to declassify it, but even the president, once it's declassified, cannot show it, doesn't depend on classification, if it impacts the security of the United States. He can't do that even for a declassified document. 10-year felony. This, to me, looks like he gets a target letter. I have never in my life heard of a target letter going to somebody they didn't intend to prosecute. Got to go to a break. I see you on the lines. It's important to me that you do not hang up. I'm going to go to a quick break, and I'm going to come back to you right on the lines. Quick break, 844-967-2789, back after the break.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
I've been a tireless public servant for over a decade. Before that, worked nearly 6 years on Wall Street. I'm an economist, a lawyer, and somebody who cares deeply about whether or not what our politicians are doing make each of our lives better. Come tune in to The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 79. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 51. Sunshine on Friday, highs near 83. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low near 60. A slight chance of a shower or storm. Scattered showers and storms on Saturday with a high near 81.
It's 76 at our studios.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling us from my day, Gene.
For the great show as usual, and it's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
You know, throughout, now this is what stumps me. Throughout Trump's time, you know, as president, we heard numerous departmental staff very frustrated with Trump because he didn't like to read documents. He didn't like to read reports. They had to make them as simple as possible to keep his attention. But he really didn't have an interest in going through those things. So why in the devil did he want to keep them when he didn't have an interest throughout the thing? And there is proof and evidence throughout, because many of his staff was interviewed and the frustrations they had trying to get his attention to these issues. And even, I think, the military. So I just want to bring that up, and inquiring minds would like to know that one. Hey, Matt, thank you, and you have a good day.
Thank you, Jean. You know, that's a great, great call. That had not occurred to me. One of the things I love about the calls on the show, because this show is half about the calls or more, and people come up with insights because all the callers, all the listeners are a lot smarter than any host. They really are. You really are. And I'll pose that question. This guy wouldn't read this stuff. If you sent him something that said these are our contingency plans for attack in Iran, he'd yawn. He'd yawn. He'd throw it in his drawer and whatever. So why did he take all this stuff? But more important, some of this stuff ends up classified in boxes that are moved. And yet, he was asked to give them back. All he had to do was give them back. That's all he had to do. He deliberately loaded them on a plane to avoid a subpoena and a search warrant. That is the crime. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
2 points, Matt. First of all, I mentioned this to Dan O'Donnell and his head exploded. I said, I can't believe the Republicans, the best they can find is a career criminal. And he said, oh, he's not a career criminal. I said, are you kidding me? Everybody in the country knew his lack of integrity. And when he got in, of course we had to get him out of there. To begin with, well, Donald couldn't see it. You know, he lives in La La Land. But my next point is, I can't believe our country cannot censor Jim Jordan and these fake investigations for this reason. Jim Jordan took an oath of office to protect our country from foreign and domestic terrorism. He failed. He supported it. We know that. There's a subpoena hanging over his head. How can people with a straight face listening to these kangaroo courts of investigation they have, running up tabs of millions of dollars taxpayers are supposed to pay for these scams, these smoke operations, cannot, I'm asking, cannot Biden or Congress and the Senate issue an order that, what do they call that, where they are not allowed to speak, to censor, to allow that to be censored? How do we allow these fake investigations to come up? The criminals are basically holding America hostage. What do you think, Matt? Is there a formal way of stopping that quickly?
Yes, there is, but you can't. It's hard. I mean, it's not going to be done when the Republicans control the House. A censure resolution. It's very funny that you brought that up, because you're not going to believe this. Matt Gaetz just introduced a resolution to censure Benny Thompson, the head of the January 6th committee, the chairman, and to remove him from the Homeland Security Commission committee, which is what he's the ranking member of, because this motion is coming out of the subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government that Gaetz is sitting on. And he alleges that what Benny did as the chairman of the January 6th committee was wrong and bad. You know, to your point, so how do we censure Jim Jordan, who should be censured? He blew off a subpoena. You can't do that. You can't do that. The remedy for that normally is they would send it to the Justice Department. They prosecute them. Well, they don't want to prosecute a congressman. So he blows it off. Now he has issued subpoenas to Biden, and who's not going to respond. And suddenly he's making a big deal of it. Jim Jordan is corrupt. He's a bad man. He's a very, very bad man. Gymnasium Jim, GYM Jordan. But first of all, the censure resolution has to come through the House. Kevin McCarthy right now, we're going to talk about this in an upcoming segment, is getting mercilessly attacked by about 11 members of the Freedom Caucus. And he's very afraid that they will bring a motion for the vacancy of the chair. Now, normally, before he made his sniveling deals, after, 15 ballots to become speaker, that would have taken like 20% of the House or 30% of the House to say, we want a new vote on a speaker. He had to give in and say any one of them could do it. Lauren Boebert can do it. Matt Gaetz can do it. Marjorie Taylor Greene can do it. Paul Gosar can do it. Any sociopath and idiot and corrupt individual in their caucus can do it. Okay? So if he brought a resolution or permitted it to go to the floor to censure Jim Jordan, a guy that he put in as chairman of this weaponization committee, he'd be toast. So as long as there is split government, as long as the Republicans have it, they're going to bring censure resolutions. In this case, Matt Gaetz against poor Benny Thompson. Benny's a good man. Benny did a good job, and he held the fort. And he got some very, very good testimony, which a lot of the prosecutors have really benefited from. But to your point, you're absolutely right. Biden can't bring it. Biden can't bring a censure resolution against a member of Congress. But the Congress can do it. But there is no way that it'll pass the House. And in the Senate, they'll filibuster it. It'll take 10 Republican votes. Thanks for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. The terrible air quality in the Northeast is expected to stick around into the weekend. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
I don't think there's a single person who hasn't felt something different. You know, more frequent coughing and just a tightness in the throat and watering of the eyes.
The main suspect in the Natalie Holloway disappearance case, Yoron Vandersloot, has been extradited to the U.S. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
He's never been charged with her death. However, he was arrested twice in Aruba. He was the last person to see her in 2005 after her high school graduation trip to that island.
Conservative broadcaster Pat Robertson has died at the age of 93. He held numerous controversial views, including this one.
Something happened a long time ago in Haiti. They got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, "We will serve you if you'll get us free from the French."
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Kuska. A test well in the town of Campbell was free of PFAS contamination after recent testing. The town's drinking water has previously tested for unsafe levels of PFAS in La Crosse County. The test well was drilled below current wells, and an engineering firm said the cost to drill larger wells for the town to use would be about $500,000. The town plans to seek grants and work with the DNR to see if they can add a new, deeper well for its drinking water supply. Over a quarter of Wisconsin is experiencing drought, according to the USDA. That includes nearly all of Polk County and neighboring counties in northwestern Wisconsin and areas south of I-90 in southwestern Wisconsin. According to the National Drought Monitor, over 88% of Wisconsin is abnormally dry, while just over 25% is in moderate drought. The National Weather Service says that over the next 6 to 10 days, the state will see continued above average temperatures and below normal precipitation. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Know anybody who's been an economist, a lawyer on Wall Street, but is from just down the street? Worked in the public sector for over a decade? Won a rugby national championship and played in Carnegie Hall? Well, I do. It's me. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, it's a heck of a mess in the House of Representatives, and you knew that just reading the paper or listening to radio or watching TV. But I want to get down, grub around the entrails of it to get the real deal. And here's what is going on. 11 members of the Freedom Caucus, the most far right, wingnut, sociopaths, corrupt individuals in the House, are so angry at the debt limit deal that Kevin McCarthy struck with Joe Biden that they found a way to shut down the House, they think, so that it can't vote on any bills. I'm going to tell you why they're wrong, why what they're doing is hurting themselves, their own right-wing agenda, but also a terrible thing that McCarthy has permitted them to do, which I view as a reneging on the deal. And here's what's going on. If Kevin McCarthy can control what goes to the floor to vote on, he's the speaker. But once he decides that, say, a bill can go to the floor, there's a titular, there's sort of a pro forma vote saying it can go to the floor. It's a rule set up for debate, you know, how much time they'll debate, blah, blah, blah. Just because he says it can go to the floor doesn't mean it's going to go to the floor. But usually when the speaker tells his caucus, I want it to go to the floor, they just, you know, it's a pro forma vote. They just could say fine. And that's because he's already talked to the various factions and they're all agreed. The 11 people who are in the Freedom Caucus who are obstructing have decided that they're not going to let anything go to the floor. They're going to take on McCarthy. And here is their first salvo, which was pathetic, because what they did is they blocked voting on two bills that are absolute right-wing wingnut bills. I'm delighted they didn't go to the floor. But they themselves had wanted these bills. And what are the bills? One of them on gas stoves. That for some reason, the Republicans have this Jones about gas stoves, okay? They think we should have our gas stoves and they shouldn't be regulated. Now, let me be blunt. I have a gas stove. I like gas stoves. I prefer them to electric stoves. But this is a bill, the Gas Stove Freedom and Protection Act. They come up with these things. So then when they try to cut Social Security, they think people don't notice, okay? The Gas Stove Freedom and Protection Act, if you can believe it. And this would bar the Consumer Product Safety Commission from regulating them or trying to ban them. There's no indication that they are going to ban them. Nobody's come to my house and say, you're going to ban gas stoves, okay? But if there's a safety issue, I want to hear about it. But they say, this bill said you can't do any of that. The other one is Save Our Stoves Act. I'm not kidding. Save Our Stoves Act. And it blocks the Department of Energy from issuing standards for cooking products like stoves. In other words, maybe safety and a couple of other things. Now, nobody in their right mind thinks that these bills are needed. The Department of Energy and the Consumer Product Safety Commission are fine commissions, and they take care of what has to be done from a safety point of view. These clowns, these 11 clowns in the Freedom Caucus said, well, we are not going to permit these bills to go to the floor, even though the speaker said he wants them. And McCarthy goes, are you guys nuts? These are your bills. He didn't say it this way, but these are wingnut right-wing bills. Are you nuts? And they just cackle at him. Now, keep one thing in mind. It only requires a majority of the House. So the Democrats under Hakeem Jeffries have 213 votes. It only takes 218 votes. Hakeem Jeffries, for any bill, could say to McCarthy, if the wingnuts say it can't go and we agree with the bill, I'll give you 20, 30 votes and it'll go. What the Freedom Caucus has done by doing this is to ensure that only votes that are agreeable to Democrats and to McCarthy and the mainstream of the Republican Party go to the floor. The other thing they're not taking into account is the six tarantulas on the U.S. Supreme Court have already ruled that the administrative agencies can't virtually do anything unless Congress approves it. And so anything that the Energy Department or the Consumer Product Safety Commission do, they probably win among the tarantulas. This is how stupid, how dumb they are in what they are doing. But it gets worse. And I'll go to the lines. I see when the lines do not hang up. Do not hang up. They've ground the House to a halt for the second day. McCarthy said, look, I'm going to send everybody home then. They're not doing anything. And here is the mantra from the Freedom Caucus. They go, the House leadership can't hold the line. Now we hold the floor. In other words, they can't hold the line on debt. So we hold the floor. And Lauren Boebert tweets out, hold the floor, hold the floor. I mean, these are pathetic people. But here's what Gates said. He's one of the 11. He goes, and you're not going to believe what he said. Quote, I want McCarthy to be in a monogamous relationship with either the Freedom Caucus or the House Dems, implying a sexual. This is Trafficker Gates lecturing somebody on a sexual. I mean, what a stupid. Can you imagine any congressman? I can't. When I was growing up watching the Congress do stuff, who would say something stupid like that? Quote, I want McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, to be in a monogamous relationship with either the Freedom Caucus or the House Dems, end quote. In other words, he does what we say or they say, and there's nowhere in between. Then McCarthy goes on and says, or Gates goes on and says, quote, what we're not going to do is hang out with him for 5 months and then watch him go jump in the back seat with Hakeem Jeffries, end quote. Jump in the back seat with Hakeem Jeffries, kind of a high school sex illusion thing. This guy is a sick puppy, by the way. Gates is a very sick puppy. He was lucky he wasn't prosecuted. Now, the Dems can break this anytime, but they have the luxury of they aren't going to sign on any right-wing bills, so the Freedom Caucus is hurting itself. Scalise, the number two Republican, said it's backfiring on Gates. It's backfiring on Gates. Two things have come up. Now I'm going to go to the line, but two things have come up. McCarthy's people briefed the wingnuts, the 11 of them, and said, look, there are two bills we do want to send to rescind a Biden gun rule that would have regulated sort of, some sort of device to lock pistols. I don't mean lock them, but what I mean to stabilize them so you can use them for mass shootings. Biden doesn't want that. The Republicans do. And also to block, make even stronger legislation to block public financing of abortions through Medicaid, which are already blocked anyway. Will you guys consent to let that go to the floor? And the Freedom Caucus is debating it, even though both of those bills were proposed by the Freedom Caucus. And the one final thing that's bad news before we go to the lines is this. McCarthy, to save himself so that he does not have a vacate the chair motion, reportedly today has promised the Freedom Caucus that in an appropriations bill, they can put in a bill and he'll send it to the floor that breaks the deal and that underfunds a lot of programs that he agreed with Biden would be funded at today's levels, which are still a cut because of inflation. That's breaking the deal. That's what the Freedom Caucus wanted. So they'll put that in. Democrats will vote against it. I think some moderate Republicans, take a good look at the Republicans in Wisconsin. If they go along with that, breaking the deal and breaking spending, because remember something, if you break the deal, that means if the deal is broken, the caveat was then that everything gets reduced by 1%, including defense spending. Well, the deal increased defense spending. I want defense spending increased. I want it increased. I want to stand up to the Chi-Coms, to the Commie Ruskies, to the jihadists. I want to support Ukraine. These clowns are playing with fire, and that is what is happening. So stay tuned. You know the real details now. Keep an eye on them. David of San Francisco, my friend. Thanks for calling. David, what's on your mind today?
Oh, thanks, Matt. Why am I spacing your name? When I hear you talking about this so-called Freedom Caucus, I listen to a lot of right-wing radio. And one of the things that's common to all of them is they have advertising from gold brokers. And the gold brokers' ads are always, the economy is about to crash and we need to buy gold. And when you start looking at, you remember on the stock market, there's a crime that's constantly committed called pump and dump, where right. Somebody will praise a stock for a while, praise it until the price gets crazy high. Then the people that actually own it will sell it real quick, and the price will come down to a penny, and everybody will lose their money. So I figure that this so-called Freedom Coalition is really just a pack of, whether they're gold brokers or the people that sponsor them are, They have no loyalty to America. They're just trying to pump and dump America. And and so it's the idea that the value of America can be raised and dropped simply by their propaganda. And are you familiar with currency speculators?
Sure.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's their technique.
Well, here's the deal, David, and thank you for calling. I really appreciate hearing from our friends in San Francisco. When it comes to pump and dump, I agree, although if you go on the radio advocating for a sector like gold, it's a bad investment, by the way. Everybody goes, oh, gold, that's ridiculous. But you're going to have some First Amendment issues trying to prosecute somebody just for saying, I think that sector will perform well, because it's too broad a category. However, what you're saying is, highlights a very important point. I don't listen to any right-wing radio because I get very mad. I don't want to. But I respect people who do, just to keep tabs on them or for any reason. I don't care. But the naivete, the foolish kinds of things that get said, some of it's conspiracy theory. But if you listen to ads, and I've heard these gold ads, and frankly, I've heard them on media that's not right wing. Everybody out there, it's a very, very bad idea to try to get in and out of sectors. To, you know, Warren Buffett has said that if he's a very wealthy guy, but let's say you have just average assets, the best thing you can do is put your money in index funds, 60% stocks, 40% the total bond market, 60% the total stock market, and go to Vanguard, you know, T. Rowe Price, Fidelity, they're honest, get the lowest fee one. And then here's the adage, don't read a newspaper for 5 years. Do not sweat it. Do not try to move stuff in and out. Occasionally, if you're younger, you rebalance because of age. As you get a little older, every 5 years or so, maybe you shave it down a little bit. Don't fool around with cryptocurrency. Don't fool around with gold. Don't fool around Bitcoin. Don't fool around with, you know, Japanese small caps. I mean, people did that stuff, and you will ultimately lose your shirt. My advice is do not do it. So that's a very helpful call from David of San Francisco. But I think he's right using the analogy of pump and dump to the Freedom Caucus, what they're doing in the United States. They have no loyalty whatsoever to the United States. Anybody who would shut down the government on the debt deal, and a bunch of them wanted to do it, and it ultimately took a bipartisan coalition of over 300 congressmen, including a lot of Democrats, 160 of them. And there were only something like 150 of them who were Republicans. There were something like 70 Republicans who stuck a knife in the United States. And I'm tired of that. These people are not loyal to the United States. The Freedom Caucus is not loyal to the United States. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Do you get sick of the news? Wonder what it's all about and why it matters to you? Tired of the talking heads? Want to move beyond talking points? For those that want to know, there's only one place to go, and that's the Maggie Dawn Show. Come listen to a pragmatist that gets beyond the politics.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high mid-80s, then a chance of storms Friday night and Saturday, high near 80. Sunny and mid-70s Sunday. Breezy too, with gusts to near 30 miles an hour. Sunny, nice, and low 70s on Monday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Macklin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go to the Supreme Court. And there was an astonishing decision that came down, and I want to give you the real background on it. By 5-4, the Supreme Court struck down Alabama's congressional maps under the Voting Rights Act, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Alabama had gerrymandered them so bad that there would be only one congressional district under their map that had an African-American black majority. It denied 25% of the state's electorate the right to equal opportunity to vote for a candidate of their choice, essentially. Now, remember something. A corrupt Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, by on 5-4 decisions, he cast the deciding vote on three cases that have gone a long way to slowly destroy American democracy. One of them was the Shelby County case. It was about 15 years ago, that threw out most of the Voting Rights Act. He threw it out, Clarence Thomas, 5-4. He was 5-4, the majority vote, Citizens United, that let dark money, black ops invade our politics, even though there've been 100 years of Supreme Court precedent, stare decisis, and congressional action going the other way. And he also was the one back in the early days, was the 5-4 decision on other corrupt decisions that started to strip away our democracy. Well, this is one of the few provisions left in the Voting Rights Act. And remember, they are considering the case of Moore v. Harper, the independent legislature theory, where they are expected to say that the legislatures can do whatever they want in redistricting and anything else, and the governor can't veto it. They're sticking their nose into state politics. They have no business doing that, and state Supreme Courts can't reverse it, even if it's in violation of the state constitution. Well, what happened this time? 5-4, suddenly they strike down Alabama's maps. 5-4, because two of them got scared, because the uproar over the Dobbs case, Clarence Thomas, you know, frankly, Gorsuch, frankly, Roberts taking money, frankly, Kavanaugh and the others, Mayor Amy Comey Barrett, especially getting in there during lame duck, when Biden should have had that appointment and he would have proposed Merrick Garland the way Obama did before him. Who were the two who got scared? Roberts and Kavanaugh. Roberts and Kavanaugh, John Roberts, the Chief Justice, wrote the opinion, and Kavanaugh, and then the three liberal justices, 5-4, said that the Voting Rights Act, which they essentially virtually eliminated back in the Shelby County case, that somehow that said, the Article 2, that Alabama can't do this. And the thing that really, really bugged me is Kavanaugh, in his concurring opinion, said that stare decisis required this opinion. Stare decisis is a Latin term that means it stands decided. It means that the Supreme Court rules a certain way in a constitutional issue. In general, that should be respected going forward. Well, how about the Dobbs case? The Dobbs case was stare decisis on steroids on Roe v. Wade. In fact, when Kavanaugh was confirmed, they asked him about that. Would you overturn Roe v. Wade? And he said, he was real weaselly about it, but he said, well, it's not only stare decisis, it's double stare decisis, because it was initially upheld in Roe v. Wade, and then the Casey case, it was a Pennsylvania versus Casey, that case upheld again. So suddenly, he turns around, sticks a knife in stare decisis in Dobbs, and now suddenly he's going, I'm Mr. Stare Decisis. What's going on? Then I'll go to the lines. Do not hang up. What's going on is you have some scared Supreme Court justices, like the Supreme Court in 1935, when Roosevelt passed Social Security. And the clowns on the Supreme Court then, who were also tarantulas, said, well, that's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional to require payments under Social Security. Roosevelt said, oh, yeah, I'm going to appoint 7 new justices. They're all going to be Democrats, and they'll uphold it. And the Supreme Court, they got scared. They liked their perks. They liked their prestige, and one of them caved in 5-4. They upheld Social Security. It was only one vote, by the way. The 1935 Social Security Act upheld by one vote. I think Roberts and Kavanaugh have gotten scared. People put up with so much, and then they don't put up with any more. And right now, you have a Supreme Court that historically had high approval ratings. Now they're in the toilet. And after Dobbs, after Citizens United, after Shelby County, after getting rid of the Voting Rights Act, after getting rid of any safeguards on money coming in, dark money, black ops, enemies of the United States pumping money into our elections, people have had enough. And then they see that Clarence Thomas is on the take. Roberts took money. This one took money. That they're not going to put up with that. And if they don't have the confidence of the people in this country, they ain't lasting. We have time for a quick call. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Oh, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I think you're 100% correct. They're reading the tea leaves. The American public is set up for their rulings. And this does give me some hope that the state of Wisconsin, what the Supreme Court did several months ago, they may turn this around when Judge Janet takes the case for new lines, new maps. Is there any, do you feel like you have hope like that or not? Thanks.
Yeah, I have tremendous hope like that. I know Judge Janet. I was a law school classmate of her husband, and she's a friend of mine, and he's a friend of mine, and she's top notch. She's already said, bring it on. I think that redistricting is unconstitutional right now. Bring it on. Here's the problem, Paul. She gets sworn in, I think it's August 2nd, the first work day in August is. That's 2 months. And they have 3 election deniers on the Supreme Court right now. Our only hope for the next 2 months is Hagedorn, who's shown a lot of integrity in standing up for the Constitution. But the 3 people who wouldn't certify Joe Biden are still on the court for 2 months. What I'm afraid is what they will be up to. After that, I have great confidence in Judge Janet and the other justices that are, I think, will do the right thing. Coming to the end of the show, great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn, direct, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Great.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5.